Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And online at SBNationLive.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Hour number two starts with the Monday Night Delight here in the building. Carla Dawson joining Ron Culver and me now. All is right with the world yet again. You know, there are a lot of rumors about where you've been.
I have secret lives everywhere I go. I have to lie to everybody.
That's what it might seem. Okay, here's one of the rumors out there. There is news that the Dallas Mavericks, who needed a new president in light of all the scandalous activity going on in the Mavericks organization, the hostile environment toward women, that they have hired a new interim CEO, and that person is a woman. And the rumor in our building was that they had selected you, the Gloss.
I would love to say yes to that rumor. What a cool job that would be.
It would be a great opportunity, would it not?
It would be an amazing opportunity. And don't you think they would love having my voice in there just telling them what I think they should do? No, I really do. I respect Mark Cuban as an owner.
Yes.
And good for him to go out and get an interim CEO that is a woman to take the place of President the former President Terdema Yousry, who is no longer, of course. It's a great move. He needs to do that. I wish the interim tag wasn't there, but he had to make a move quickly. So who knows? I wonder if she'll be in there for the running for the long term.
So her name is Cynthia Marshall, and she is the interim CEO. She comes over from AT&T, and it is not Carla Dawson. We're dispelling those rumors right now. The other rumor is that you were in on, there's a big auction for Babe Ruth has a bat, you know, the legendary bat where he pointed where he was going to hit.
The called shot
home run in the 1932 World Series. It's up for sale. There's a rumor that you were there at the auction making a bid.
Okay, well, you're not supposed to know that rumor because my boss has a birthday coming up and
yes,
trying to get something for, you know, the studios here.
That one would be fine. The price tag, it's rumored that it will fetch $500,000 before the auction's over.
Well, that's the other piece of it. I needed to kind of renegotiate my contract with you just a little bit before I make the final bid, but that's the plan.
At one point, we were going to pay you Roger Goodell money.
Yes, the jet.
Back fall time when all that was happening, so that would have worked for you.
Are you backing down on that?
Well, I'm definitely backing down on that.
Is Jerry Jones pressuring you?
Yes.
He does not want you to renegotiate my
contract. We're going to have a little bit of Jerry Jones conversation later this hour. But coming up next, we're going to talk all things NBA. We're going to look at the big win by the Rockets over the Celtics when we return on the Boss and Gloss of SB Nation Radio.
This is the Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
In a long NBA season, there are some games that stand out that really turn your head. And for me, that Rockets win Saturday night over the Celtics was a really signature win for the Rockets.
Oh, it was big. It really was big because Boston's a force to be reckoned with. And, you know, they likely could be the team coming out of the East.
They will be.
They might come out of the West, too. Well, that's combining the West and the East.
Which some people want to do, but that's postseason. That's another topic.
That's another topic, right.
But the Rockets, 15 straight wins. A win over a great team in the Celtics. This is this team looks to me like they are either one or two in all of the NBA.
Clearly, the best record right now in all of the NBA. But what I think is so neat about the Rockets, what we're seeing, is that the Boston game Saturday was another tight game. I mean, it really wasn't opened up, and it was only opened up slightly at the end. And you know what James Harden's going to bring. You know what Chris Paul's going to bring. You know, when Capella gets his minutes, you know what he's going to bring. But you look at the last 2 minutes of Saturday night's game. You've got Trevor Ariza, who has spent, you know, just come off of the DL for a considerable amount of time. In the last 2 minutes, he scores 5 points and 2 steals. Mm. that seals it for them.
Yep.
So I think that it really speaks to the depth of the Rockets. You know, besides everything else, we know their offensive firepower is crazy. We know in their defense, which Brad Stevens has noted, he said Houston's defense is not talked about enough. All the switching, like they've taken switching to an entirely new level, super active, super aggressive, and they are as deep as they come. And I think, you know, Golden State does a lot of switching too, but really Houston right now has really, they're leading the pack in that.
Well, I'm going to give Chris Paul a lot of credit for that. The Rockets, notoriously, James Harden certainly were not known for defense. Mike D'Antoni were not known for defense. But this year, they have come to play on the defensive side of the ball.
No, they really have. And when Saturday night, they took like 39 three-point attempts and made 19. Not a great percentage.
Yep.
But that's when your defense really comes in, that you've got to make the stops on the other end when you've got Kyrie Irving, you've got Jason Tatum, you've got, you know, a lot of firepower coming from the Boston side as well. But you look at James Harden averaging 31.5 points, almost 9 assists, and over 5 rebounds a game. My gosh, can you think of anyone else that can win the MVP at this point?
Yeah, I was about to say, is he your MVP pick? Must be.
He is my MVP pick. Did you see the MVP moment? This has to be the turning point. Did you see that?
I saw. It was all over YouTube.
It was all over YouTube.
A simple crossover dribble. I don't know how he did it.
Oh, my gosh. It was nasty in the best sense of the word. So this is their game against the LA Clippers before the Boston game. That crossover dribble that literally collapsed poor LA Clipper forward, Wesley Johnson. I mean, he was down. It looked like his ankles rolled. I mean, it was the weirdest fall. And then Harden, like, waited for him to get up, like, kind of put his arms down, gave him some time to get up. And as soon as he got up, was like, yep, yep, I think I'll just nail a three.
And drained it, no less.
Disrespect. But, you know, actually, not disrespect. When you have that kind of talent, I mean, it's you got to use it.
Well, I probably have said this before, but I think it every time I watch James Harden, it doesn't look like he's moving that quickly. It doesn't look like – I remember when Michael Jordan would drive to the lane. There was a speed. There was a first step. Mm-hmm. There was an alertness about his movement and explosiveness. You don't see that with Harden, yet he gets plenty of room for his shot.
Well, it's funny because we have talked about this before, and he has been tested, you know, at like these places that can tell you athletically this is what you do. He is not – way above average in anything except the ability to decelerate, which is what he does. You know, he's in this situation with Wesley Johnson. He was charging towards the basket, full speed ahead, and then all of a sudden he's two steps back and he's behind the arc.
Right.
In a nanosecond. And the defender is, whoop, and you saw what you saw because he's that good at decelerating. So for all you speedsters that cannot get that speed, you can't get your combine for 40-yard dash speed, work on decelerating. That's what I'm going to do.
Well, it's a good strategy because it certainly worked for him. I'm bought in. Now, let's shift gears for a minute. It wasn't that long ago the Cleveland Cavaliers had made the big trade. They were the talk of the league. In fact, they were on a sort of a, I would have called a honeymoon, and they were winning and all was well. Now they've hit a little bit of a tough spot. Now, it looks like they're going to win tonight. They do have a lead this evening, but all is not so rosy in Cleveland anymore.
No, it's really not. And I think the incident with J.R. Smith this week, which has been very quiet, you can't get a lot of intel on it, but it's kind of a little window to me into the troubled Cavs. And that's J.R. Smith was suspended for one game after throwing, I'm sorry, I'm laughing about this, but he threw soup on his assistant coach, Damon Jones.
Well, of course you're laughing. I mean, you can't write this. You can't make this stuff up.
I can't make this stuff
up. He got mad at his assistant coach, and he threw soup on him.
Is it a middle school lunchroom or an NBA locker room?
Well, hopefully it wasn't a hot bowl of soup. Hopefully it was a cold bowl of soup. I mean, this is ridiculous.
And hopefully not clam chowder. That's just so thick.
I've had lots of people in this company be very mad at me, but no one has ever thrown soup on me. I mean, that's just amazing.
Not even in a bread bowl? You can at least hope for that.
One time, yeah. It happens.
No, I think the Cavs are, they were definitely going on adrenaline after that trade deadline, bringing in four new players. But let's talk about those four new players. That's an issue, trying to blend four brand new players on the fly. Then they also have a lack of a number two scorer, a dependable scorer, with Kevin Love out, still out with an injury.
Yep.
And where's the defense? So those are three pretty major issues. It's going to take a while for the Cavs to work it out.
No, they're giving up a lot of points right now, and the lack of a number two scorer is going to come to haunt them. LeBron can't lead the way scoring-wise every single night.
And Love doesn't get enough love, but especially with Kyrie missing, you know, not with Cleveland anymore. They really need the production of Love. So it's not
dependable
anymore.
So you inadvertently raised a topic that I wanted to address with you.
Uh-oh.
Yes, you said that the Celtics might come out of the... What did you call it?
The West.
The West, which is a combination of the East and the West. So here's the topic, is there is a lot of discussion that perhaps we shouldn't have an Eastern Conference final versus a Western Conference finalist. It really ought to be just a 16-team tournament. And
pure like college, basically.
Pure like college. You'd have, in this case, you'd have the Rockets at one end of the tournament, the Warriors at the other end, and those two would finally meet in, presumably they would find themselves in the finals, rather than they play in the Western Conference finals, they get beat up against each other.
Somebody has to lose.
And then, goodness, it might end up being the Warriors versus Toronto in the championship, and that's sort of an afterthought.
Mm-hmm. No, I love that. I love the pure record seeding. That's what I love about college basketball.
Yep.
You know, I think, you know, we talked about this earlier, and I think it's interesting to note that, yeah, the travel would be tricky if you take away East versus West.
Right.
You know, that would be tricky, but it would take away weaker divisions. Like, clearly, the Western Conference, if you look at the East and you've got Toronto and Boston at the top, you used to have Cleveland at the top. And they could resurface again, depending on if they can work out these issues we just talked about. But it's clearly the weaker division compared to the West. So it would be nice to rank by division. It would just bring a little more excitement, I think, into the seeding process. Because you look at the Western Conference, you have virtually tied at the top, Houston having a slight edge over Golden State right now. 12.5 games below is the number three seed.
Yep.
That's a huge drop off. And then they're all really bunched in. The 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. It's really a weird deal.
Well, and the argument for the tournament in the NBA might have even been a better argument a year or two back when the Western Conference seemingly had about four teams that were superior to maybe any in the East.
Including San Antonio.
Yes, on the West, you would have had San Antonio to throw into that mix. In other years,
OKC.
It wasn't that long ago. The Mavericks were pretty good.
Right.
But those teams were better than maybe anybody in the East except for Cleveland. So it would have been a better way to sort out that than just have a big battle to see who got to play Cleveland.
Yeah, that's a good point you bring up. I mean, the West has a lot more power. Like, we weren't talking about anybody in the East except for Cleveland until really the last year and a half or so.
Yes, the Celtics have come out of nowhere. Yep. Now they've really, really built the team. Danny Ainge has done it in fast fashion, but it wasn't that long ago. They just were not that impressive.
And Toronto has been just almost there and then just kind of fizzle a little bit at the end. But not this year. Mm-hmm. I love what DeMar DeRozan is doing there, and they're going to be a force.
All right, when we come back, I'm going to make note of this, that we all know that the Gloss watches 41 bowl games. She watches Saturday afternoon bowling. She watches everything you can related to sports. One thing she's been glued to this week is the NFL Combine.
Oh, love it.
So we are going to ask her about what she has seen at the NFL Combine. When we return, we're going to ask her view of the top quarterbacks coming out in this draft. You're listening to The Boss and the Gloss of SB Nation Radio.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Okay, Carla, in the first hour, Ryan and I were noting that the NFL Combine wasn't that big of a thing just 3 to 5 years ago, and now it's wire-to-wire coverage. But what's also notable is that, well, there are many images of you. I mean, the whole Princess of Darkness thing, there's the school board thing. But in this case, what I want to see, or want to show everybody, is Carla Dawson sitting on the couch, glued to the television. You've been watching the NFL Combine wire to wire, basically.
I love it.
You love it.
I love the Underwear Olympics, Justin, not because it's the Underwear Olympics.
The underwear word up. Why? What is it?
Because that's what they call it. I know. I think
really?
That's a little bit crazy. But you know what? Here's what I love to observe. Like,
yes.
Okay, watching Josh Allen, the Wyoming quarterback, come out, throw his basic 70-yard pass downfield. This is so raw. So I've watched it a couple times. Of course, I watched the beautiful pass and the beautiful catch.
Let me pause on this. What you're saying is you're watching the NFL Combine wire to wire, and then you're going back and rewatching it.
I do.
You record it all over and again.
I catch a few. There's certain things I like to watch
because
over.
Once is never enough.
Well, you can't catch everything in a quick minute, and
Good. You
don't know that that pass is going to be made. So here's why I watch it over.
Okay.
When I watch it over, I look who's standing behind Josh Allen, and it's Sam Darnold. And you should see the look on Sam's face. He's the USC quarterback,
sure,
and he is not throwing in the combine, but he is there. And it's just interesting to watch the other guys watching their competitors, because it's basically what it is.
And what did you see on his face? Was he impressed by Josh Allen, 70 yards? That strong arm had to turn his head.
Well, Sam Darnold, I watch him intently, being a Trojan myself.
And you do know how to read his face.
I do, because it doesn't change.
That's true.
I mean, think about the Rose Bowl with Penn State. I mean, he's got seconds to make something happen. He has the same face as when he's warming up. That's a strength of his, just really strong, unshakable leadership.
Right.
So I'm going to give him that. So that's what it was, totally unshakable.
Okay. I mean, Allen does have the biggest arm of the quarterbacks. And I've been wrestling.
And he's the biggest physical presence in the quarterbacks,
yes,
too, at 6'5", 237. It's huge.
Just a physical stud. Accuracy, the question on him, and some will not take him number one. Some would argue that he should be number one.
Shoulder issues as well. I mean, he's had surgery.
Well, we
more
shall
than
see.
Once.
But he's throwing the ball very well right now.
Yep.
And he looked good at the combine. A guy who did not look so good was Josh Rosen.
Right. Right, which, you know, I love because I'm a USC girl. So
we
want UCLA to be shining at the combine, that's for sure. Yeah, he was interesting because he is known for having these pristine throwing mechanics. But it didn't show well at the combine. I mean, you saw it too. I mean, he was underthrowing receivers pretty significantly.
Yep.
But again, the point should be made that these are not receivers that these quarterbacks are familiar with or used to throwing with. And you know, there's nobody else out there, and the pressure's on. I mean, everyone's looking at them. But Josh Rosen's an interesting guy because he has tons, and he oozes confidence.
Yep.
And he's really a smart kid. But he's not super durable. He spent a lot of time on the sidelines this last season. He needs to bulk up a bit. And he is really known as an outspoken, like a locker room lawyer, which can be a little bit tricky.
Sure.
You know, so we'll see. His leadership, I would say, is in question. He's known as aloof. But I think if he bulks up a bit, his mechanics can be good when he's in the right situation.
But personality-wise, temperament-wise, in the locker room, he doesn't have a magnetic personality. He's not a backslapping, cheerleading kind of guy. He doesn't have the energy or the charisma of a Baker Mayfield.
Well, he says, I'm not a rah-rah guy.
Right.
Like, if I did that, people would think I was being fake. I don't like aloof. That term is not a good, it's not complimentary.
Well, because there are a lot of guys. I mean, Troy Aikman was really actually fairly unemotional. He was not a rah-rah guy by any means. Troy Aikman showed up and played. But aloof, no one would have ever said that. They might have said intense, focused, dialed in.
Competitive, you know, the pristine competitor. That's, I think, Troy Aikman's demeanor. And Sam Darnold models that.
Right.
Just kind of unflappable.
Yep.
Not aloof. I mean, it can lead the locker room. I think Troy Aikman was an outstanding leader in the locker room, clearly, by the success he had in Dallas. I don't see that with Josh Rosen. In fact, he's actually polarizing. So that's going to be his character is going to be an issue for some NFL teams for sure.
So the quarterback who's perhaps thrown most consistently at the moment.
Your boy.
Baker Mayfield.
Yes, you love that guy.
Well, it's funny because there are a couple observations about Baker Mayfield I want to make. One is, at this moment, as he's been throwing well, and now we're moving on to the next season and the draft and how it's all going to work out, no one's talking about his grabbing his crotch. I mean, we have moved on.
Oh, they're still talking
that.
About that.
Oh, well, maybe you are, but I've moved on.
Well, you know, and actually, I'm not talking about it, but I'm reading a lot of the different draft boards, and it's come up his, quote, edgy personality, and the first thing mentioned is the crotch grab, and then it's the disorderly conduct, and it's the resisting arrest, and he hates the way to tick off Baker Mayfield is to ask him about comparisons to Johnny Manziel.
Yes.
And I can understand.
Well, absolutely. He does not want that. I mean, that unravels his whole posture.
You know, it really does. And he says, there's a line to be drawn, and I've had my lessons to go through the hard way. So, you know, he's saying he's learned and he's moved on. His issue, I think, because Baker Mayfield is such a competitor, he can really will his team to win, like Tom Brady. That's a very similar mm-hmm. mindset. And he is accurate. He's a sharp scrambler, and he can throw into tight windows. I mean, he's fearless, but he is small. I mean, they were so excited when they measured him at the combine, and he was over, he was 6'3"
Love that 3/8.
I think there was a little toe, standing on tippy toes,
but whatever.
He's
been doing his yoga. It's stretching him out.
But he does fumble. He's fumbled 13 times in his 2 years at OU. I mean, that's not, and I think that has something to do with his size. But he is the most accurate quarterback. I'm going to have to give that to you.
So the chutzpah of Baker Mayfield, there were questions, hey, you might end up going number two overall to the Giants. You might fall to the Jets. Two New York teams, both in play for Baker Mayfield. And his response is, he's ready to be Broadway Baker. How about that? Broadway
really?
Baker.
Are you doing that to my Joe?
Well.
The same sentence with Joe Namath. How can you do that?
You know what it does underscore? Gosh. The poor Jets. When have they had a quarterback since Joe Namath? I mean, I liked Richard Todd for a little window there. There was Ken O'Brien for, I mean, but it's really been hard.
You don't think Geno Smith was your guy?
Oh, my gosh. The Jets, on a historically bad run, maybe worse than the Browns. At least I can talk Brian Sipe with the Browns. I'm really stretching. It's a really tough window. But Broadway Baker, he is ready to step in if called.
Why would you put that target on your back? But this is what Baker Mayfield does. And you know what? He actually can play. He usually does play up
to that. He is not afraid. In fact, I think it fuels him. It inspires him to play at a higher level.
Yeah, he has a lot of confidence and belief in himself. And you know what? I want that with my guy under center, for sure. But so far, you haven't named any of the guys that I would take.
Really?
If I was a GM.
Okay, if you had the number one pick, or if you had the first quarterback
first
to take
quarterback.
Off the board, because Barkley could go number one.
Right.
But if you got the first choice among the quarterbacks, you would take Lamar Jackson?
Yes.
Really?
I know. I know you're surprised by that.
I am.
But I've really done some digging. And you know intimately how much I love all things Deshaun Watson.
Yes.
Everything about him, from his on-field performance, his intangibles, his competitiveness, his fierce work ethic, his intelligence. I mean, just everything about him. This is Lamar Jackson, because he is so, and Deshaun Watson's athleticism. I mean, we see him as a dual threat. We only had a 7-game sample in the NFL, and it was the most fun 7-game sample we have ever seen in Houston.
Yep.
I mean, he was on pace to break every rookie record and broke Dan Marino's record, which is really tough to do from the 80s for most touchdowns in a month. But Lamar Jackson has that type of athleticism. He is the most dynamic quarterback in this draft to me. Just an exceptional athlete. This is so funny. He has no agent. His mom is repping him. How cool is that? She's a tough cookie. She makes him toe the line. But he's got this breakaway speed, a super live arm. You know, he is raw in regards to accuracy, because he throws off his back foot a bit, which is not great. But what he needs is a Sean McVay. He needs a Doug Peterson. He needs a Pat Shurmur, a coach that can develop him. You know, Deshaun Watson with Bill O'Brien, that's a great match. Bill O'Brien's doing a great job developing him further. That's what Lamar Jackson needs. So I think he has the most potential size-wise, athletic-wise. And you look what he did. He's the only player in this whole group. He's rushed for 1,500 yards and passed for 3,500 yards, not once but twice. Dual threat is the way to be.
It's interesting you compare him to Watson. He's a better runner than Watson in terms of just speed. Watson did do some good movement in the pocket to buy time and kept his eyes downfield. It seems to me Lamar will take off running a little faster, which is something they need to coach out of him.
Yes, absolutely.
Watson's more mature as a pocket passer to date, in my mind.
Yes. No, absolutely. Absolutely. But Lamar Jackson is a great, incredible talent that with the right coach, you can do a lot with him.
Okay.
I like his upside.
You're running out of time in this segment, and I know you developed a soft spot for a special player who has only one hand.
I mean, can you not?
Yeah.
Shaq Griffin. He is my main squeeze out of the combine. I mean, we can't even talk about the combine without mentioning Saquon Barkley.
Yep.
Transcendent talent. Never seen numbers like this. Just every number, from what he benched to his 40 number to his vertical leap being higher than Julio Jones as a running back, a 5'11 running back. But my heart is with Shaq Griffin, and he is a linebacker at a University of Central Florida, 6'2", 227 pounds, missing a left hand. It was amputated at the age of 4. And the guy, you would, I did, when I saw him, I started watching UCF towards the end of the football season. Had no idea. I just said, who is this guy? Had no idea he was missing a hand. His performance in the Peach Bowl, still thinking about it. And he's doing this without a hand. Somebody take this guy. He is the real deal. Fortitude right there.
All right, when we come back, we'll take a quick look at where he might go in the draft, because he does bring fortitude to any team. You're listening to the Boston Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
This is the Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's David Gow and Carla Dawson.
Looking for quality auto parts for your vehicle? Shop O'Reilly Auto Parts. You'll find they have convenient locations, thousands of brand name parts in stock, extended store hours, everyday low prices, and well-trained professional parts people. You'll agree that O'Reilly is auto parts store you can depend on. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Okay, when we went to break, you were raving about Shaq Griffin. He's got one hand. He showed really, really well. What was notable to me is after his great showing, one, he had a great collegiate career, as you noted, and he showed up well at the combine, at incredible times, incredible bench press results, showed up as well, I mean, measured as well as anybody on the linebacking crowd this year. And yet most pundits still think he's just a fourth-round pick. Is the handicap too much to overcome?
It depends who you're talking to. Honestly, I really do think that, because I look at like Jason Pierre-Paul, who had the firecracker accident where he lost, you know, part of his thumb, I believe.
Yep.
And he's incredibly well in coming back. He's lived his whole life with a full hand and just had to learn the last 2 years how to deal without a thumb. You look at a Shaq Griffin, who the hand was amputated because of a birth defect at the age of 4. He has lived basically his entire life without a left hand, and he's overcompensated in other ways. And I think this is what is just pushed his pursuit of relentless excellence. I mean, his twin brother, this is so cool, is a cornerback for the Seattle Seahawks. But the bench press, for example, a little tricky to do without a hand. So he's got a prosthetic.
Yep.
And he heard an NFL scout say, you know, gosh, this guy can do 5. That's going to be great. 5 reps of 225 pounds. So his goal, Shaq's goal, was 6. He benched 225 pounds 20 times.
Yeah, it's outstanding. And it's amazing that his strength could work through the prosthetic.
Exactly.
I mean, obviously he doesn't have a hand on the weight. So somehow his whole body strength is coming up through the prosthetic, and it worked.
This is what I would urge GMs and scouts to think about with Shaq Griffin, because, you know, I'm just the expert over here, or so I think. You look at Dallas taking a chance on Jalen Smith after a devastating knee injury in the Fiesta Bowl with Notre Dame, where he tore his ACL. He had nerve damage. I mean, it was really a very comprehensive injury.
Questionable whether he could ever play at all.
Absolutely. And and look at him now.
Yes.
I mean, he's had a fabulous season. You know, Dallas was really patient with him, and I really give it to them for being patient with that injury and rehabbing it like it should. With Shaq Griffin, you don't have that question mark. He has been playing. He's a 2-year starter at UCF, which was the only undefeated Division I football team this year. You look, he was all AAC 2 times, AAC Defensive Player of the Year, Peach Bowl Defensive MVP. This guy has proven himself. He had a breakout season in 2016. Listen to these numbers. 92 tackles, 11 and a half sacks, and 2 fumbles and an interception. He's the real deal.
Yep.
He is really the deal. So I think he doesn't need to prove himself. He has proven himself.
All right. You've made the case. Yeah. I think let's send him up the draft board.
Okay,
it'd be
perfect.
Fun to see where he lands. Now we have the moment we've all been waiting for, the famous award-winning, highly acclaimed, much anticipated weekly segment, the He Said, She Said segment.
What did you just say? What the hell?
It's time for He Said, She Said on the Boss and the Gloss.
Okay, in this segment, we look at what some sports luminaries have said, and we give our response. Let's start with John Dorsey, the general manager of the Browns, who has all the treasure, all the keys to the kingdom at the NFL draft, John Dorsey.
There's a lot of things I can do at number one and not just get a quarterback as well. You know, my door is wide open. If, you know, somebody wants to come up and, you know, talk to me about a trade, I'm willing to trade. But also, I'm going to do what's best for this organization, and I will do that.
He said he has a single responsibility, and that is to awaken a sleeping giant. They've been asleep for a long time. They know I got the two picks high in the first round. Don't you see them drafting a quarterback number one?
Not necessarily.
Okay.
I think John Dorsey is playing NFL poker right now. He's not showing his hand, and he shouldn't show his hand. I think what was interesting, and we didn't get the soundbite in this piece, but he was asked about Saquon Barkley because that's a possible number one for him. And he said, yes, everyone knows he's a great, great football player. Next, move on. I think that is an interesting sign because, as we talked about in the earlier segment, you know, none of us, we don't seem totally set on a quarterback that's just going to come out that we can, scouts can see and say, wow, this is the guy. And I will say, we talked about the Cleveland Browns before, missing on Carson Wentz, missing on Deshaun Watson. I mean, just bad misses. This is a different regime. That was GM Sashi Brown. This is John Dorsey, you know, first year GM. So they, yep. I really don't want to put that on him. That's not fair. But, you know, I think it'll be fun to bet on Cleveland because this year they have a collection of high draft picks. And what that does is, you know, it allows them, gives them ammo to maneuver through this draft, 12 draft picks, you know, and how many, you have the numbers that they have, like four of the first 35 picks.
That's right.
Number one, number four. I mean, they've got really high picks.
And number one and number four in the second round, and they've got the Eagles pick of the second round. They've got five of the first two rounds.
I mean, just crazy.
Extraordinary bounty coming their way.
And they've got $111 million in cap space, the most in the NFL.
See, I'm a Brown believer.
The world is their oyster. You are.
It's going to turn around in Cleveland. I can see it coming. The thing that strikes me, though, is if you take Saquon number one, then, of course, you've got to draft a quarterback at number four. And at that moment, you might be getting the third best quarterback, however you define best. I mean, it's hard. It's subjective. Mm-hmm. Because, of course, the Giants could take a quarterback, and then the number three pick overall is the Colts, who could trade out of that. Assuming the Colts don't pick a quarterback, assuming they think Luck's coming back, they could trade out. Someone like Denver might trade into that spot. And so Cleveland at number four would be left with the third quarterback. They would not be picking the quarterback. They would be picking a quarterback that is left there. And that's
they would
a big
not
risk.
Be controlling that choice that's as right. much as they would want. And the only reason that you would do that, so this will be interesting, if the Browns take Barkley, Saquon Barkley, the running back from Penn State, at number one, there's your answer to how did they feel about the quarterbacks.
Yep.
Like not one over the other.
That's well, if you is. Believe there was just a marginal difference among the three quarterbacks, and there was a big difference between Saquon Barkley and, say, somebody else you might take with the number four pick if you took a quarterback one, say, a big difference between Minkah Fitzpatrick and Saquon Barkley, yeah, you could end up with Barkley and the third best quarterback mm-hmm. or the third quarterback mm-hmm. taken, and you might be in a better place.
Unless Cleveland is planning to make a run for Kirk Cousins.
Well, that would change every dynamic.
That would.
I think the question is not whether Cleveland wants Kirk Cousins.
No, you're
the
right.
The question is whether Kirk Cousins wants Cleveland.
And he's been pretty clear he wants to go to a contender.
Yeah. By all accounts, it really should be the Vikings or the Broncos who are most set up to win in the near term. There are whispers out there that the Cardinals will make a good run for Kirk, but it'll be fun to watch.
Mm-hmm. It will be great. Free agency opens up pretty soon, March 14th.
All right, we march on in our famous He Said, She Said segment. And the next one is an anonymous source. It's an anonymous NFL assistant coach. He was quoted but said he did not want his name revealed. He was talking about the draft. He was looking at the combine. He saw Saquon Barkley, and he fell in love, so much so that this anonymous NFL assistant coach said, I would punish myself in my nuts, or I would punch myself in the nuts. Sorry, I had to read that over again. I would punch myself in the nuts many, many, many times to be able to draft Saquon Barkley. Now, we don't have since it's anonymous, we don't have the audio quote of his saying that he would punish himself, he would punch himself in the nuts many, many times.
This is really affecting you. I think you're breaking out in a cold sweat about this.
Saying this, but he would punch himself many, many times. We don't have any audio of that, but we do have a sound bite. You got one for us, Ron?
Ow, 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 ow stop, oh, stop, oh, 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 I can't breathe.
Many, many, many times.
Yeah, and that was a three many sound bite for sure.
He punished himself and he punched himself many, many times over and again. So that's how much love there is for Saquon Barkley.
Well, I think it's, yes, you're right. It shows how much love there is for Saquon Barkley. It also shows you what a unique gladiator sport football is. Wow.
Yes.
Many, many, many times he would punch himself.
I guess so. Ron, you're whispering something over there.
No, I've added, I've found a fourth he said or she said, so.
Really?
I knew he would throw a surprise at us. Ron likes to do this.
Well, he likes to do that. And
you, we like it. We're up for it.
Ron, we're ready for your next one. Tee us up. What do you got?
Well, as you know, Phil Mickelson won his first tour since, I think, 2013.
Right, 4 years.
I thought it was since 1928, right? It seems.
It feels that way.
Yes.
But and he went into a playoff with Justin Thomas. Well, on the 18th, in order for this to happen, Justin Thomas eagled 18 to put himself in this position. I have the call. The Spanish call.
Oh, I love it.
For this whole, I mean, we love.
Well, Carla loves Latin men.
I do.
Yeah,
I do.
Of course.
Bring it on.
This one is probably one of the more epic calls I think I've heard.
Es Justin Thomas, hoyo 18, frente a la galería, última ronda. Ahí está el swing. El estadounidense, qué bien picó esa bola. Viene para abajo, para abajo, para abajo. Sí, adentro. Justin, Justin, Justin. Lo hizo, lo hizo. Magia pura en el club de gol Chapultepec. Última ronda. Justin Thomas, Eagle. Esto lo puede hacer campeón. Esto lo puede coronar. Sí, vaya swing. Qué manera de cerrar. Qué manera de rematar una ronda final en menos 16. Justin Thomas puede hacerlo. El sueño es posible.
Why does he make golf sound so much more fun than when it's in English?
I love this. Exactly. He's like, forget this whispering business. We're going full-on Super Bowl for this announcement.
Yeah.
I love that.
He obviously is not anywhere near the green because he would be yelled at and banned from this place. But, again, it's the tournament was in Mexico. Maybe that's how they do it down there. We need to adopt this way.
I think that does make it more exciting. That would get me off the couch.
He said, Loisa, right, Loisa, Loisa. He made it. He made it. He made it. I mean, he was pumped.
Eagle, eagle, eagle. That was awesome.
Very nice addition.
That was great, Ron. I knew he'd have a good one for us.
All right. This one on a more sober note. It is from Hall of Fame quarterback Jim Kelly, who has suffered with oral cancer off and on, and the oral cancer has returned. We have a quote from Jim Kelly about his oral cancer.
I go, hey, I'm not dead. If I can still go, I'm going. And people talk about I have a fishing tournament to go to tomorrow. I go, hey, my surgery's not till the end of the month. If the good Lord decides tomorrow's my day, hey, I'm going out with a fish in one hand and a cool beer in the other.
Super, super inspiring. Mm-hmm. That guy has been just the picture of faith, the picture of persistence, the picture of prayer. He has so much love. He has a wife, a couple daughters, and boy, they are by his side. And what more can you do but fight? He's so inspiring.
Well, and going through just the treatment for cancer is like hell on earth. And he's...
The treatment's worse than the disease.
He's now got to do it again.
Yep. You know what? Our prayers go out to Jim Kelly, Hall of Famer, Hall of Fame player, Hall of Fame person, Hall of Fame dad, Hall of Fame husband. We're rooting for you, Jim.
Indeed. All right, when we come back, we will empty out the notebook. We'll cover all the topics that have been left unsaid. You're listening to The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's David Gow and Carla Dawson.
Well, as we wrap up the show, I guess I'll have to concede right out of the chute, hour two was better than hour one.
Well, I would like to stay on one more hour. I'm just getting warmed up.
Yes, you've just, well, when you show up an hour late to work,
it's true.
Don't get to just delay the show. I mean, we had to go on without you.
And then I have to appear out of a phone booth, and then I say things like, the weast.
Well,
between the West and the East. So I need time to warm up.
Top of your game. The one thing that, just to be clear, Ron Culver is no gloss. So as he tried to fill in and play the part and put the lipstick on, he fell way short.
I know what the answer is to all this.
Tell us.
No more meetings. No more Monday night meetings. You have to tell them to switch to Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Wherever she is, we don't really know where she goes.
You have 4 other days to choose from. Tell them, you know what, Mondays, I'm needed.
Well, yeah. You're right.
Tell them, whomever they are.
I know, I can't tell you all or have to kill you.
I don't know why she has so many secrets, Ron.
Housewife by day, sometimes. Talk show host.
And the gloss at night.
A reference of school marm might have been thrown out in that first.
I knew you all were going to do
never,
that word.
Never.
I tried not to look marmy when I come in, hence the telephone booth transformation.
Yes. We weren't talking appearance.
Well,
You come in, I mean, you're one step away from Gene Simmons and Kiss in the black and silver.
Yeah, there's smoke following you behind the
I tapes. Know, I kind of love yes. my Raiders.
Big Ooh. Entry.
High heel boots, I mean, it's, you know, it's...
I know, a few little spikes here and there.
It's intimidating.
And Ron, I do think you're glossy. I did notice some highlights in your beard today, and they're looking good.
No, that's gray hair.
No, blonde. It's blonde.
Well, and on the same night that he chose to wear a shirt that he didn't button up much above the belly button, he's letting it all hang out.
I'm going for the Ezekiel Elliott midriff. I thought that was a thing.
Oh, gosh. Can you imagine? Elliott's the only one who can get away with that.
Yeah, he can. That's right. That's right.
And I don't know if he even really does get away with that.
You know, did you realize this is the second time? I mean, you know, she immediately was like, yes, he can get away with that. We've been talking underwear Olympics today.
Oh, yeah.
Like I'm saying, I'm just warming up, people.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just, can you imagine if you had me for a second hour tonight? That would not be good.
Matt Hara might need a co-host.
He just might.
I started in the gutter hour one. That's not usually good.
So Matt Harab is coming on after this. Okay, well, we can tease him. Matt Harab is a rising star at SB Nation Radio. So if
you're
listening
now, you
think
he'd like the gloss to join him tonight?
He might need a little help from the gloss.
That might be the end of Matt Harab. That might just scare him. We're just going to have to let him.
Well, be sure to stay tuned for Matt Harab, who will follow us. It's been great to be with you, the Monday Night Delight.
I'm so glad to be back. Thanks for covering for me, guys. Y'all are the best.
All right, Matt Harab up next on SB Nation Radio.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off 2 or more select major appliances. Plus, get 3 Scotts NatureScapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.